The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora and welcome to a Built Heritage Story on Heritage South here with Senga and Davey.
Hello.
Kia ora, Davey.
Kia ora.
How are you?
Oh, doing well.
Oh, great. I had such a good time when we had our last episode. We were feeling very grand last time.
We were.
This time we're positively regal.
Oh, amazing.
And we're only pretty much just turning around and looking across the road from the Grand Hotel, because that is our next featured building. No prizes for guessing what it is. It is, of course, the Alexandra Buildings.
Yes. So, Alexandra Buildings, they were built in 1901.
Correct.
So, what was happening in 1901? Well, it was just a couple of years ago. I remember it as a young fella, but no, just joking.
Just joking.
1901. So that was, you know, Queen Victoria, the lady in charge, had just passed away and that had moved on to her son. The Boer War, the Second Boer War, was in the process of wrapping up. Young Bert Munro would have been about, 2 years old. So he would have still been, you know,
yet to be famous.
Yet to be famous. I'm sure he was still giving his parents a lot of trouble racing around the house.
Yeah, I bet you he had little dinky cars.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And apparently fingerprints were just becoming, like, you know, a thing in Scotland Yard. So, you know.
Oh, the beginnings of CSI. Forensic science.
Yeah, so it was a big time of change in the world. Yeah. Lots of things going on. And lots of things were going on in Invercargill too. So, yeah, just on the corner of D and Don Street.
Absolutely. Maybe we just crack on with some fast facts about the Alexandra Buildings.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
So, of course, it's a Queen Anne-style building, and it was considered to be one of the town's most handsome buildings when it was first built.
Absolutely.
And it had been standing there on that corner for almost a decade before it was joined across the street by the Grand Hotel. So it is the older of the two buildings.
Yes, yeah. So it was commissioned by the trustees of John Turnbull Thompson's estate. So he died in 1884. Obviously, Surveyor General of New Zealand, Turnbull Thompson, who laid out the wonderfully straight streets of Invercargill.
Mm.
And he left his wife Jane and 9 daughters to live at Lenore. So that's quite an interesting connection to the very early Invercargill history there. So Invercargill's population at the time, it was also expanding. So Alexandra Buildings were built to provide shops and office space. And it was completed in March 1901, built by the Meyer brothers. And that cost, I think, £4,000, which is a bargain. Again, well, I'm sure, I can't remember how much that is in modern money.
No, I'm not very good at that.
But it's not as bad. I think it was only in the hundreds of thousands rather than the millions.
Yeah. What I like is that there's a really nice connection between those two buildings because, of course, they were designed by the same architect.
Yes.
So C.J. Broderick, or Cuthbert to his friends. I'm sure he must have had another name. Maybe they called him Bert.
Bert.
I don't know. When he first arrived back in Invercargill and set up his architecture business, the Alexandra Buildings was one of his first commissions.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. What a first project. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Incredible.
I know. Because he'd only come to town and opened up his practice in about May 1900. So it was really
his first commission.
And interestingly, he went on to marry John Turnbull Thompson's 7th daughter.
Yes.
Everyone called her Nonnie. Don't ask me what her christened name was. I'm not sure because everybody called her Nonnie. Even in the newspaper, when they announced their wedding, they still called her Nonnie. So there you go.
I love that name. It's so cool. They should bring that back.
Yeah. So they got married in 1906. So in between the building of the Alexandra Buildings and the Grand Hotel. So I wonder if there was a wee romance.
Blossoming.
I don't know.
Wow, by crikey.
Yeah, I know. So he's responsible for both of those beautiful buildings.
That's We are very lucky down here to have had architects to the, you know, the scope and scale of the things that
Broderick's definitely done. Yeah.
So apparently the building didn't have a name when it was built. So in 1901, it didn't have a name. But the name came about after the death of Queen Victoria in January 1901, which I mentioned a wee bit earlier.
Mm.
So the new king, Edward VII, had a very popular consort and his wife, Queen Alexandra of Denmark.
Mm.
Due to her popularity, there were many public roads, streets and parks named after her. And as this building was completed in March, the decision was to make the name Alexandra Buildings.
Yes. So we also have another kind of reasonably local connection with the name.
Mm.
Apparently Alexandra in Central Otago is also named for her.
It's pretty fancy, eh? I guess it was Dunstan before it was Alexandra. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. But, of course, there are lots of stories about the people connected to the Alexandra Buildings.
Yes.
And there is one in particular.
Oh, it's my favourite story of these early buildings. So, do you know what a psychometrist is? You probably do because we've talked about this, but a psychometrist. So basically, psychometry is about measuring the soul. In those days, it was sort of a psychic method of reading the energy of objects. These days, you might call her like a medium or a palmist or a fortune teller, that sort of thing. But anyways, there was a psychometrist based at the Alexandra Buildings, and her name was Madame Haller. Now, Madame Haller had travelled around New Zealand in the late 19th century and early 20th century to hold seances and give demonstrations.
It was quite the thing in those days.
Spiritualism was massive.
Yeah, it was big business.
It was. It really was.
Yeah.
Remember, there's no Netflix, there's no internet gaming or anything like that.
People flocked to them, didn't they?
It would be very entertaining, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So apparently Madame Haller would go into a trance and answer questions and lecture about true and false spiritualism, which is quite ironic. But anyway, she would go on and advise on all matters to do with business, health, and marriage. So you got a problem, go see Madame Haller and she'll give you some spiritual guidance. Actually, before she took up her offices in the Alexandra Buildings, she spent some time in Invercargill at the corner of Tay and Jed Street, which is, I'm guessing, around where Fat Bastard Pies are now.
Oh, right.
Yeah, just across from the church there.
Yep.
And at that time, she had actually predicted the Boer War. You know, this is in 1900. She predicted that the Boer War would be over in September 1901. So she was 8 months out. It was May 1902, but not a bad guess, you know, for, you know, a year and a bit out.
I think the key word in that sentence is guess.
Yes, I think so. Anyway, so not long after the Alexandra Buildings were completed, she returned and set up shop there with her similarly gifted son to dispense mystic advice. Now, when you hear the, you know, mystics, fortune tellers, you might think that Madame Haller was nothing more than a common charlatan, you know, taking people's money and telling them what they wanted to hear. I mean, possibly, but there's also a bit more to the story.
Yeah.
So Madame Haller, her real name was Minia Kober. So she had arrived from Germany back in the pioneering days. Her husband, Frederick, was a partner in a successful wool trader and importer's business in Dunedin. Sadly, when the business went into decline in the 1880s, Frederick became very sick and was essentially invalided until he passed away in 1895. If you read between the lines of this story, so Minia had to support a sick husband. You know, there was no sickness beneficiaries in those days. And equality in the workforce was still a long way away. So she did the thing that she knew best. She began reading fortunes and hustling as a way to support her family. And she did it well. From all accounts, newspapers around the South Island, around New Zealand, were full of glowing reviews of her psychic abilities. She was providing a service that, I mean, is a bit dubious to us in the modern times, but it provided a lot of closure for people during those war years, the Boer War years, you know, when communications were so limited. But actually, there was another Madame Haller, wasn't there, Senga?
I know. I think that is one of the more amazing things about the story. In fact, our Madame Haller was so incensed by being mistaken for the what she called the charlatan, Madam Heller, that she took out ads in the newspaper to say, look, I'm not the one that's like a travelling circus. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I take myself very seriously, and I'm it's almost like I'm the science person, not the mystic person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I just found it fascinating when you dig into the story to realise that we're actually two Madam Hallers.
Amazing, isn't it?
In the same kind of industry at the same time in New Zealand.
I should really what change my last name to Copperfield, shouldn't I?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. That'll
be fun. Of course, you know, that was only one tenant. There were many, many tenants.
Plenty of tenants.
In the Alexandra buildings over the years. But surprisingly few owners. So the Turnbull Thompson estate that had commissioned it in the first place, they put it up for sale in December 1920. And at that time it was bought by a William A. Brown, whose family actually continued to own it into the first few years of the 21st century. So a long time.
A massive legacy, isn't it?
And of course, you know, he was himself one of the jewels in the crown of the Alexandra building.
I see what you did there.
Good. So, you know, he was actually a ring specialist. He sold rings and jewellery right on that corner spot.
Mm-hmm.
So basically since the early 1920s, there has been jewellers on that spot. Of course, today we've got Maclay's Jewellers there. I'm sure there are very few people who don't know of Maclay Jewellers.
Yep.
They've been there since 1954.
See, that's a long time.
Yeah, so that's over 70 years ago now. Wow. Since the Maclay Jewellers, but yep, they were not the first.
No.
And hopefully it will continue to be a jewellers for quite a bit of time to come. But there were people like, there were nurserymen selling seedlings,
yep,
there were opticians and dentists, and sometimes it was the same person being both. There were ladies dressmakers.
Yeah.
And actually the one that I'm fascinated about was right from the very beginning, there was a physical culture club on one of those floors, because it's three floors.
Yes.
So
that would be amazing, wouldn't it? So physical culture club, so that's getting together, that's playing card games and reading and billiards and
table tennis,
yep, all sorts of yep, fascinating games. Again, yep, no Netflix, so you wanted to have something to do on those long Southland nights.
I do hate to say it though, but it was a men's club. It was for young men to keep them out of mischief. But I don't know about the girls. They weren't allowed
they
to join.
They probably had something much classier to do.
You'd have to hope so.
Yeah, you would hope so.
But they actually joined forces with the Invercargill Cycling Club.
Yes.
So the Invercargill Cycling Club joined them because that was one of the biggest clubs in Invercargill.
Cycling was amazingly popular back in the early 20th century. That's true, yeah. Cycling in Dunedin, not much fun. Invercargill, great.
I know. And actually there is a whole story about the Invercargill Cycling Club that maybe we'll talk about another time.
So,
because it's not really relevant for what we're talking about today. What I do want to say though is that if you want to learn a little bit more about the Alexandra buildings, because we've just glossed over a number of those stories, and you might want to see some old photos, and you could see a photo of Madam Heller, then you can check it out on the Heritage South website, which is heritagesouth.nz. And we would love to hear your story. So do get in touch with us if you've got stories of the Alexandra buildings, because we'd love to know.
People have been flatting up there for a long time as well. And I've heard of all sorts of parties that have gone up there, and
Yes, and I do know that there were times in the early part of the 20th century after Mr. Brown took over that there were some people residing up there that possibly shouldn't have been residing up there because it was not set up as flats in those days.
Shot.
But there were people who were living up there. So, I think there are some fascinating stories.
Mm.
So if you want to get hold of us, I'd love to hear them. So please do. Hey, Kone Ra and Ngā Mihi Nui. Thanks so much for listening to Heritage South, and thanks for joining me, Davey.
Thank you for having me.
This show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links are also on Facebook on Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on Heritage South's page at heritagesouth.nz. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any episodes, please subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform, through Access Media, or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.